Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, crazy day. Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. If you're just joining us, we did almost the entire first hour on this Aaron Rodgers thing. And I just don't even know where to go with it from here. I want to get into a few other things that are going on. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but in the event that there is breaking news about who RFK Jr.'s presidential running mate is to be, we will break in immediately to our regularly scheduled programming and bring that to you. So anyway, we got all that going on. I got a couple of other things I want to get to here. Here's an interesting question, I think, and I'm going to call this one, I think it is, it's sneaky big news.
Sneaky big news.
In Kansas City, Patrick Mahomes is restructuring his contract, which is going to free up about $21.5 million in cap space in Kansas City. And I'm seeing a lot of speculation. I don't know if it is informed speculation or not, but speculation that they could try and trade for T. Higgins. So for those of you who've not been following it, T. Higgins was franchise tagged by Cincinnati. He wants a long-term contract. He is a one, right? I mean, he's a one. He's not their one. I think most people think he's good enough to be a team's number one receiver. He's not Cincinnati's number one receiver. They have Ja'Marr Chase, who's better than him. But T. Higgins is better than the best receiver on probably at least two-thirds of the teams in the NFL, I would think. Anyway, putting that aside, he wants to be traded. We all know that you can trade players on the tag. It's very expensive, all that kind of stuff. Here's my question. If you're Cincinnati, do you even entertain trading him to Kansas City? When that is the team you have to get past to get where you want to go. The idea that you're giving Mahomes that weapon, would you even entertain that for, I think it's two ones, right? I think if you trade for a franchise tag player, you automatically, am I getting that right? Is it automatically two ones? It's something like that. There's some rule. We'll look that up. Hembo just read the CBA, so I would have thought you might know it off the top of your head. But anyway, would you even entertain that trade?
I would not. I would absolutely not do anything in my power that could potentially help the Kansas City Chiefs. I suppose if the Cincinnati Bengals think they know something about T. Higgins that is incriminating in some way, that he's not quite the player the league might think, I suppose you'd consider it, but I'd much prefer to trade T. Higgins to an NFC team for a million obvious reasons. The Cincinnati Bengals are really the only team since Tom Brady retired that have been able to provide any sort of hiccup to this Chiefs dynasty. And so I think what is much likelier, given the history, the track record of the Cincinnati Bengals, is that they play out the string. They're not going to be afraid to do this with him, just the same way they did with Jesse Bates, the safety. They'll play a year on the franchise tag, and then they'll cut him loose. But there is no way in my power, if I'm running the Cincinnati Bengals, that I'm going to give that player, a player that good, to Patrick Mahomes, of all people. There is just no chance I'm going to allow him to be the reason why I might lose in the playoffs. No way.
And I wonder if the Chiefs would want to go in that direction. Like, I know there are so many highly regarded receivers in this year's draft. You could be picking 32nd, whatever the case may be, which is what they'll be doing. Like, there are so many good receivers that are going to be drafted in this draft. Names that you might hear at that point in the draft include a guy like Xavier Worthy, who ran a 4.240 at the combine, fastest in 20 years. This guy, A.D. Mitchell, who started his career at Georgia, wound up at Texas. Everybody loves him. And they've got him for whatever your taste in receivers is. You want him small and fast. You want him big and physical. They've got every single kind that you could have. So I don't know if I'm the Chiefs. I don't know that that's the direction I want to go to use up a lot of the allocatable resources that I have. Did you say you just looked that up? Is there
you were right, two ones.
It's two ones. So you can trade a player who is tagged. You automatically give up two ones. If I'm as crazy as this sounds, if I'm Kansas City, I'm not giving up two ones for T. Higgins.
I'm not. For no wide receiver when my quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. What is much likelier, in my judgment, in my opinion, I know you don't like when I say that, in my opinion, I think it is much likelier that what the Chiefs do is trade L'Jarius Sneed, and with either that pick or the pick that they already have, draft a pass catcher. But I'm curious, if you think the Chiefs might consider drafting a tight end this year, I'm not sure if you've drafted, or excuse me, if you've studied any tight ends so far.
Yeah, I've got three good ones.
But obviously Travis Kelce's on the back nine. I'm very intrigued by the idea of them drafting one who can block well, which is really not his forte, but can also be a two-way threat in order for them to play two tight ends on the field and be able to kind of load manage Travis Kelce. I think you're going to be so good that you don't want to necessarily play him three downs the whole season? I'm curious if maybe with that pick at 64 or maybe at 95, if you start building the Travis Kelce off.
Okay, well, then we're having two different conversations. So you're not getting Brock Bowers there.
No.
Brock Bowers is going somewhere near the top of the first round. Mm-hmm. Now, most of the mocks I see have him falling. People all of a sudden are determined he's not quite as big and not quite as fast as they thought he was. He plays big and he plays fast. He isn't actually that big or that fast. So, like, what I'm all of a sudden hearing in the evaluations of Brock Bowers, who's the tight end from Georgia, and I'll read this to you here, is a three-time All-American. Oh, I'll give you a little trivia question that you're going to hear on the draft, because this is, I mean, I've already written my notes on him. For both of you guys, Brock Bowers is the third Georgia player to be named an All-American three different times. Can you name the other two?
Wow. Was Herschel Walker one of them?
Herschel Walker is one.
Champ Bailey.
No, it's not Champ
Bailey. That's a great guess,
though. Good guess.
It's a great guess.
All-American.
I mean, I could give you a giveaway hint.
No, don't do that. Let me think about it a little longer, because I don't know the answer.
While you think about it.
David Pollack?
It's David Pollack. Mm. Wow, that's a great guess by you. It is Herschel Walker and David Pollack. Yeah, Bowers was also a two-time national champ, won the Mackey Award as the nation's best tight end twice, only player ever to do so, caught 26 touchdowns in 3 years, 13 of them in 2021, which remains the Georgia school record. So he is going to go somewhere early. I have two more tight ends in here that I really like, the kinds who are going to be available much later in the draft. Let me scroll. I'm scrolling, and I will find them.
Is it Theo Johnson or Kate Stover or Jatavion Sanders?
Theo Johnson, Penn State, four-star recruit coming out of Canada, born in Winnipeg, grew up in Windsor, Ontario, caught 7 touchdowns last year for the Nittany Lions, 6'6", 259 with a huge wingspan and good hands. So that's a tight end who you could, you know, teams will be drafting. He'll go on the second day. And I have one more, the kid from Texas who I love.
Jatavion Sanders?
Yes, I love him. Let me get to him.
You're right about Brock Bowers didn't measure big. He's in the 23rd percentile in height and 12th percentile in weight.
Yes, he's not as big as they thought. Jatavion Sanders, Texas, explosive pass-catching tight end, exceptional hands, 45 catches last year, over 15 yards per catch. He's from Denton, Texas, and he says he models his game after Travis Kelce.
Let's match him.
How about that?
Let's match him up.
So that could be something Kansas City winds up doing. Either way, I thought we would have a little, because we have just been so crazy this morning with the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Let's say, of all the moves, we just broke down. If you're just joining us, Hembo and I did a little research project this morning, of which I am proud. We discovered that the teams that spend the most in the last 10 years in free agency have historically improved significantly, an average of 2 more wins per season. And the teams that spend the least have decreased, have gotten worse. They've averaged 1.5 more losses per season. So the stuff we've seen does matter. It matters every bit as much as we're making it seem like it matters. So I'm going to ask each of you guys, the whole hashtag crew, of all the signings we've seen so far, which one's going to wind up being the most impactful? And by impactful, I mean serious, whether it's a team going to a Super Bowl or making the playoffs when they were otherwise bad, or like making the biggest impact on their new team. Which signing that we've seen so far is going to wind up having the biggest impact on that player's new team? Who wants to go first? Who just knows one in their head they're willing to go for immediately?
I have one. I don't know if it's the top, but it came to the top of my mind when we saw yesterday. Danielle Hunter to the Texans I really like. Mm-hmm. I think the Texans are set up so well this upcoming season, and they're still going to keep building. They were ahead of schedule. They're super young. Their defense is getting better. The culture seems rock solid there. C.J. Stroud's only going to get better. They add this guy. They lost Jonathan Greenard, so I think they're in a really good spot. I don't know if that's number one, but that was one that came to the top of my head. And I think the Texans are a top 3 seed in the AFC and contending for the championship next year.
Well, that's a very good choice, and I like it because it's a little under the radar. It's not your usual quarterbacks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Bubba, you have one? It's not going to be a Cowboy.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, they re-signed their long snapper.
I guess, I don't know, I really do. I'm a Kirk Cousins guy, so I do think Cousins is going to get them. You know, they were 7-10 in third place, so I think if you're saying 2 or 3 more wins, that gets them to almost basically flips it to 10-7, first place in the NFC South into the playoffs, no problem. So I'd say that one, or I really like the Derrick Henry in Baltimore. I think it's going to be a really good signing for them. Great contract. I mean, 2 years, wherever it was, like $16 million. perfect deal for them. So I would say, I mean, they're obviously already in first place. So they
that's
get
the thing
much
about
better,
Henry.
But
I love the Henry
I think it's
signing.
A perfect fit for them there.
Well, the only way Henry, the only way you wind up saying, oh, what a difference he made, is if they wind up in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Right? They've got to make the Super Bowl for that to fit this. Not necessarily for him to play well, but my point is for them to really improve. I think you're onto it with Cousins. Here's the thing with Kirk Cousins. I know Stephen A. was all over Kirk Cousins the other day. Let's talk about what Kirk Cousins is and what he isn't. Kirk Cousins is, well, first of all, he's as good at making money as any player has ever been in sports. He has made more money relative to goodness. Like his pay relative to goodness ratio is extraordinary, and we should all aspire to it. But because he isn't that good, I think we're underselling the significance of that acquisition. Atlanta, in my view, is so good, so talented. They were missing only two things last year. One, I think they were very badly coached. And two, they had the worst quarterback play of any team in the league that wasn't the Jets. I don't know who was worse than them at quarterback last year. Who was a worse regular starting? It was Desmond Ridder and who? Who were they switching?
Heinicke?
Carolina was awful last year.
Yeah, but at least they have a first pick that they're trying to develop. I mean, you'd like to think Bryce Young is going to get better. Yeah, maybe the Patriots.
You'd like to think.
Maybe the Jets.
It seemed like there were a lot of teams that had
okay,
pretty
so they're right in the team.
But they're in the mix. Yeah.
Let's just say, relative to how good they should have been with those weapons, Drake London was drafted ahead of Garrett Wilson. And no one on the telecast said, oh, that's the worst pick I've ever seen. How can you take this kid ahead of Garrett Wilson at wide receiver? That's a terrible decision. No one said that because it wasn't the case. Drake London is freakishly talented. You've just forgotten he's in the NFL because they didn't do anything with him. Kyle Pitts. When Kyle Pitts was the fourth pick in the draft 4 years ago or three, however many years ago that was, no one said, I can't believe he's going fourth. You know what they said? They said, he's going to revolutionize the NFL. He's going to change the NFL. He was going to be to the NFL what Victor Wembanyama was going to be to the NBA.
Do you want to take a stab at how many career touchdowns Kyle Pitts has?
Does he have any?
He has three seasons. How many touchdowns do you think?
Two?
Six.
Yeah, I mean, he's terrible. He's been nothing. He's been, basically, you forget he's even in the game. You watch their game and you forget he's playing. Bijan Robinson was like the best running back coming out of college since, I don't know, Zeke. I mean, he was Saquon. He was that good. They made you forget he was on the team. So they, I think, are such a sleeping giant. And with the eighth pick in the draft, they can take Dallas Turner, who is like the true pass rush specialist out of Alabama, and make that defense much better. And they're in a bad division. Like, I think they're going to win like 11 or 12 games this year. And I think they make themselves a real contender. So do I think Kirk Cousins is worth $100 million guaranteed dollars? The answer is, to them, yes. Because he was the best option they had. They didn't want to take a chance on a rookie. What does work, it doesn't work. Even taking a chance on Justin Field, it might work, it might not work. Go get the surest thing you can get. And if the price for that is $100 million, then I think it was a price worth paying. So I love it, even though I can't sit here and tell you, I think in a vacuum, he's a $100 million player.
It's an easy signing to rationalize when you have the weapons that they had. I think you characterized it right, too, with those players coming out of the draft. Kyle Pitts was compared to Mike Ditka. Mike Evans, I mean, Drake London was compared to Mike Evans. And Bijan Robinson was compared to LaDainian Tomlinson. And what they became so far is a disgrace. And Arthur Smith got fired because of it.
Yeah.
It's just funny to you know, think about it that way.
Yeah, I mean, they were supposed to have Mike Ditka, Mike Evans, And who was the
LT?
LaDainian Tomlinson.
And instead they had
Manny Moe and Jack.
And they were 7-10 three straight years.
Yeah, and the coach got fired.
I thought it was Manny Moe and Jack.
And he deserved it. Moe, Larry, and Curly are the Three Stooges. I don't know who you're talking about. Are Manny Moe and Jack?
I must have thought that they were the Three Stooges.
Well, the Three Stooges were Moe, Larry, and Curly, and then there was a fourth one, Shemp.
You're sure about that?
No, I'm.
Yeah. Oh, Manny Moe and Jack are the Pep
Boys
guys.
Those are the Pep Boys.
I at some point I'm just going to give up on you.
I was going to say, that does sound familiar. I'm like, I think that's someone. I'm like, oh, yeah, those are the Pep Boys.
I'm giving up on you. Did you know that starting stronger starts at AutoZone, where they've got battery solutions in the form of free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs? That's what makes them America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone with AutoZone.
I'm looking at a list of quarterbacks that Aaron Rodgers started against at least 10 times.
Ross Perot.
There are four quarterbacks.
Jack Kemp.
There are four quarterbacks that have started at least 10 games against Aaron Rodgers, and you're going to give me all four. That's the question.
Oh, not their winning record or anything. Just four quarterbacks who started against him 10 times.
That's right.
Period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Answers next. ESPN Radio.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Greeny, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. What a morning we got working here. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We do our group trivia in 30 seconds after this from ESPN Bet, which is now live as the official sportsbook of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. We are agonizing over here. It's a really, really good but very tough question. Go ahead, Hembo.
I am looking at a list of quarterbacks, of starting quarterbacks, to ever play against Aaron Rodgers. There are four quarterbacks that started at least 10 games in their career against Rodgers, and you are going to give me all four quarterbacks.
To clarify, Rodgers has to have been the starter in that game to count. We asked Hembo that during the break. So those, whatever it was, 3 years that he didn't play in Green Bay but was on the roster, that wouldn't count.
It would not count.
It would have to be games Rodgers started. So the first place we went was the division. He played in Green Bay forever. So we went to the three quarterbacks who would have been on the other teams and in that division the longest. So the one of them, I think, of which we all feel the most confident is Matt Stafford.
Yes.
Right? Stafford
yes.
was there forever. If it isn't Matt Stafford, we have no chance. So we're guessing Matt Stafford.
That's correct.
Okay.
Matt Stafford went 4-13 against Aaron Rodgers.
Yikes.
Okay.
Number one. He's number one on that list.
So the next name we came up with is Jay Cutler. Cutler was in Chicago, I want to say, 5 or 6 years. They played each other in a playoff game, legendarily, in the NFC Championship game. Cutler didn't finish that game, but he started it.
He was biking on the sidelines.
They may have played each other, let's say reasonably, they could have certainly played each other once aside from that. They could have played each other when Cutler was in Denver.
Yeah.
So
I mean, if you're saying he was there, if he was there at least 5 years,
I think he.
Some of them were injured a couple times, so they might have missed each other. But I'm still confident in it. I think Cutler's in it.
We don't have a better guess, right? I mean, we also have to have a. We have to guess four names.
Got to get four.
We don't have a better name.
Go with him.
We're going to go Jay Cutler.
That's right.
Okay.
Jay Cutler went 2-11 against Aaron Rodgers. He's second on this list.
Boy, he schooled the NFC North.
Boy, that's sure did. Sad. I mean, Aaron Rodgers really did own that division and own the Bears.
I think Cousins is on it.
The third quarterback that we came to is Cousins. They would have played against each other probably during his time in Washington, a time or two. Did they play each other in a playoff
game?
Yes,
they did.
I think they did when he was in when in all those years that Cousins has been in Minnesota,
4 or 5 years.
Cousins signed in Minnesota the year I was it was in the free agency of 2018. So 18, 19, 20. Yeah.
That's five seasons.
It has to be. It has to be Kirk Cousins.
That's correct.
Okay.
Kirk Cousins, 5-5-1 against Aaron
Rodgers. Not bad.
He's a great quarterback.
Not bad, Kirk.
So
another name I just threw out is Romo.
Yeah.
Could Romo be
I don't know. 10 is
so many. I don't know.
Many.
I mean, I'm just thinking of them matching up. You know, I'm just thinking their schedule's matching up.
I don't feel like Romo. Just because of the recency of it, because, you know, Dak has been the starter there, what, 5 years?
I mean, they would have had, like, 8 or 9 years in the same conference, but 10 is just so many. I just can't picture who of these guys got there.
I feel like Breeze, Matt Ryan, or Russell Wilson, I feel like are likelier.
Or Eli. I would be between Matt Ryan and Drew Brees, personally.
Yeah, I don't know how we
But I know Matt Ryan and Rodgers played each other in at least one playoff game in the championship.
And Eli Manning played him against him in at least one playoff
yeah.
game. Yeah. When he beat Green Bay the first time in the NFC, the freezing cold game was Favre.
Yes.
But the Giants beat the Packers the year I think the Packers were 15-1.
Yes.
And that was Rodgers for sure. So that's one playoff game. And Eli was the quarterback forever. And would have started right around the same time. Like the year that Rodgers became the starter was right around 2000. It was later. I'm sorry.
Eli had been around for a bit then.
Eli was around longer. I don't know, guys. We got to guess one.
I don't know how you can decide with these. I don't know.
Are we missing any divisional one, or those are all the guys? Because they kind of ate up those entire years, so I can't imagine it's anyone else.
Certainly no one else in Detroit.
Right, and the Bears.
Who was in Minnesota before?
I mean, they've had
Cousins.
A hodgepodge. They've had Case Keenum. They've had Teddy Bridgewater. They had Christian Ponder. I can't imagine
none
any of those
can't
guys
be
got
any
there.
Of those.
Definitely none of them.
And then the
Chicago?
Bears had Orton, and then afterwards they had Trubisky in Fields. So I can't imagine it's them
There's
either.
There's no way. I agree with that. So I think it's one of these other guys that were just in the league forever. So I'm willing to go with any of them.
I would say Matt Ryan, but
Brandon Jack anywhere around here?
Brandon and Jack are leaning Breeze.
I don't hate Breeze.
Bubba, how you leaning?
I don't even know. I could see all of them. I mean, what Cam, you said Ryan, and then
let's go with Breeze,
and they're saying Breeze.
Yeah, I don't know.
I
don't
Breeze
feel good
makes
about it.
There's
no way it's Kurt Warner, right? There's no way. I just thought of it. I can think of a playoff game.
He retired a year after Rodgers started the league.
Okay, fair enough. So the answer is no, it's not.
All right. Let's lock in Drew Brees.
All right.
We'll live with the consequences.
We are locking in Drew Brees.
The correct answer is Matt Ryan.
No!
Oh, come on! Brandon and Jack!
What a painful result.
Let the record show that Brandon yelled, "I knew it was Matt Ryan," when you said Breeze, and then under your breath said, "or Wilson." So you literally said the other two choices we had and not the right one. When the right one was announced, you yelled, "I knew it."
He does that every time.
That's a terrible person to be. Don't
be
that
them
person.
For help.
Don't be the person in the room who says that. That's a bad person in the room to be.
So Matt Ryan started 10 games against Aaron Rodgers.
That's twice Ryan has been the answer to a question and we didn't get it.
Russell Wilson started 9. Drew Brees only started 5.
Oh, my God.
Which is a surprisingly low number.
Damn.
You had it.
That sucks.
You had it.
All right, that was fun.
God.
I mean, I will say I really enjoy that segment. And you know, and it'll be interesting because now, you know, Aaron Rodgers' matchups are going to be very different. He's going to go head-to-head with Vice President Harris, and he's going to go head-to-head with whomever it is that Donald Trump chooses as his running mate. For those of you who've not been paying attention to the news, I swear to you I'm not making this up. Aaron Rodgers is receiving serious consideration by third-party presidential nominee RFK Jr. to be his running mate. And the New York Times and Washington Post are reporting that the two have spoken about it a great many times and that he is one of the really serious candidates. We've spent a lot of time this morning trying to figure out what this would mean. And again, my first thought went to this. Like, just imagine being Robert Saleh and being when you first were informed of that news. Like, I know exactly where I was sitting. Like, we could talk about if indeed it winds up happening. Look, I would have thought when the Jets got Rodgers and went as all in on Rodgers as any franchise has probably ever gone on any player in history. The fact that he only lasted four plays and then tore his Achilles, all of the, oh my God, this could only happen to the Jets. This could only happen to the Jets. If 7 months later, that winds up being the best part of his tenure because he retires to seek the vice presidency, it will be maybe the most incredible story in football history. I don't even know what else to say. It's not even a 30 for 30. It's got to be a 60 for 60, a 90 for 90, a 1,000 for 1,000. It's a story so crazy you couldn't possibly write it. So here's what I did. I downloaded an app. Is everyone in this room familiar with something called Mad Libs?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what Mad Libs are? Okay. So I used to do Mad Libs when I was a kid, and I didn't know if Mad Libs were still something that are popular because I don't have any recollection of my kids doing them.
I did them when I was a kid.
Okay. So, it turns out, I mean, they must still be doing something because they have an app, and I downloaded the app. And so for those of you who don't know how it works, is you go through and they just ask you to name like a noun, because if you just hear the words, New York Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers is being considered as a vice presidential running mate for Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who is running for, you know, whatever it is. Like, that sounds like a Mad Lib, right? That sounds like something you just inserted words that wouldn't ordinarily make sense and just kind of threw them in there and they worked out together. So it allowed me to do one for free, and now I'm finding to my horror, I wanted to just try and do one here. Okay, here we go. So we're just going to insert words, guys, as a group, that we think will fit this story, and then we'll read the Mad Lib. So let's start with an adjective. Cam, just how would you give me an adjective that you think describes Aaron Rodgers?
Polarizing.
Polarizing is an excellent one. Polarizing. Next. Hembo, plural noun. Anything that you could see somehow relating to this story. To
Jets.
New York Jets is a plural noun. I like it. Okay.
It's
Bubba,
a proper noun.
How about just another noun? Any noun?
I don't know what a noun is.
What? It's literally a thing.
It's a person, place, or thing.
Anything.
Let's see.
I'll do yours.
Tree.
Football.
I don't know what a noun is.
A football is a noun. You don't know what part of speech that is. Okay. I was afraid that might happen. I'm sorry.
I didn't ask you for a gerund.
Purple. Okay. Here we go. Adjective. Adjective is a word that describes something. Bubba, give me an adjective. It could an adjective.
Colorful.
Okay, do you find Aaron Rodgers colorful? I like that. That's good. Number. Hembo, give me a number.
Number eight.
Eight. Okay, that was his number with the Jets. part of the body, plural.
Achilles.
That's exactly right. Achilles tendons. That's very good. Here's another part of the body, plural. Passing arms. How about that?
Perfect.
Passing arms. I don't know if passing is an official part of the body, but I'm going with it. All right, another adjective. Hembo.
Controversial.
Controversial is another good one. We haven't gotten to plural noun. Football teams.
Stadium.
A stadium or plural. So stadiums. Stadia. Stadia.
Stadiums.
Plural. Another plural noun.
Jerseys. Pulpit.
Pulpit.
Yeah, like a debate when like a presidential debate.
Like a lectern.
A lectern.
Okay. Lecterns. Okay, I like that. Lecterns. Verb ending in ing.
Throwing.
Throwing, or I was going to say running.
in this case.
Yeah. Let's just go with throwing. I'm taking the first one because there's no right or wrong answer. We're doing a Mad Lib, for crying out loud. Boy, this is longer than I thought it would be. Noun. Bubba, person, place, or thing?
Green.
green is not a... Quarterback.
A green would be a noun, I guess, if you're using it to describe the area that you putt on a golf course. Quarterback is a noun.
Sorry.
Okay, quarterback. Verb ending in ing.
Cussing. He does some of that.
Part of the body, plural. Boy, this is a long Mad Lib.
Behind?
Yeah, okay, rear ends.
Oh, you asked for a noun?
Plural noun. This is taking longer
playbooks.
Than I expected it to.
Playbooks.
Playbooks. Okay. Noun.
Syringe.
Okay.
Very good. Adjective. I was not expecting this to take nearly this long. My apologies to
ridiculous.
The audience. Adjective. Ridiculous. I was going to say something more like self-assured. Conceited.
Confident?
Self-confident.
I like self-confident for him.
Yeah, so just because that could fit in here. Please, God, let this be the last one. No, plural noun. Okay.
We have more plural nouns?
Cleats. Okay, finally.
Okay,
great. You did a story. Here we go. And I've earned a badge.
Mm.
And here comes the story. A night at the carnival. When my best friend and I go to the carnival, we go on as many polarizing rides as we can before we run out of New York Jets. Our first must is the roller football. What a colorful thrill, racing down the track at 8 miles an hour, throwing our Achilles tendons into the air and screaming at the top of our passing arms. Not as terrifying, but still controversial fun are the bumper stadiums, where we drive around like crazy lecterns, throwing into each other. By far the scariest ride is the tilt-a-quarterback. It sends us cussing in circles so fast... It makes our rear end spin. After that, we're as happy as playbooks to hop on the Ferris syringe and enjoy the slow, self-confident ride. It's a nice way to top off the evening and calm our cleats. I would say that makes every bit as much sense as Aaron Rodgers is running for the... That took us a little longer to get to than I would have liked. To my friends at the Mad Libs app, I could use a little shorter one, but I think it actually did serve the purpose of the story pretty well. There's nothing less reasonable about that than if you just inserted the words Aaron Rodgers, New York Jets quarterback, vice presidential running mate, into like a news story. That's literally what it looked like the New York Times had done yesterday.
So earlier today, you said that you didn't think we'd have the chance to actually see him on a debate stage. I've done some research in the last hour. I'm reading from the Federal Election Commission, and there's a section for criteria for candidate selection for the debate. And there is nothing that stipulates a certain amount of popularity or anything else. It is at the discretion of the governing body and, in some sense, the media people. They get to decide these things, too, because they are televised, of course. And so I think we could be living in a world in which that happens.
So I remember H. Ross Perot in debates. I remember his vice presidential running mate was an admiral named Stockdale. So I remember him in debates. I don't know how that was selected, to your point. So just the idea that Aaron Rodgers could wind up like actually in a debate with Vice President Harris and whomever is Donald Trump's running mate is just impossible for me to fathom. Like we're living in a world where we're not that far away from that happening.
Oh, we're
actually in a world where that could happen.
We're barreling towards it.
And I will go back to it again. Just imagine being the kid who had to knock on the coach's door yesterday and say, "Hey, Coach Saleh, I got to tell you something. I'm busy right now. What, are you kidding me? We're trying to sign a right guard." "Well, I don't think I'd worry about that so much right now because the New York Times is reporting that Aaron is considering running for vice president, seriously considering it. Like, this might happen." Once again, it would be if it happens, it would make all other 30 for 30s embarrassed by the insignificance of their subject matter, comparatively speaking. All right, coming up next, the words, "How on earth does this happen?" were spoken yesterday, and you'll hear why right after this on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you on ESPN Radio. Secure the seats and the memories this year from Vivid Seats, your home for every slam dunk, slap shot, and stolen base. Vivid Seats celebrates fandom with unbeatable rewards like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. With Vivid Seats rewards, you earn with every purchase. From buzzer beaters to walk-off home runs, Vivid Seats has a great selection and great prices on all the games that matter to you. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Visit Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN. So look, here's the deal. Mistakes happen, right? Everybody makes mistakes. We are, that is part of being human. And we always should accept when people say that was an honest mistake and I apologize. And there are, but there are every now and again, there is a mistake made that you just find yourself saying, how did that happen? Like, what could possibly have transpired that allowed that to happen? And here is one of those.
The Scoop.
You know the statue they put up of Kobe Bryant outside the arena in L.A.? Remember, where they had that beautiful ceremony. Phil came and spoke so beautifully, and Kobe's wife came and spoke so beautifully, and people were there reminiscing about Kobe. It's such a tough, you know, ceremonies like this are so challenging when, you know, Kobe's such a young man not there to be a part of it and all the rest of that. And it was such a beautiful night in so many ways. And then they unveiled the statue. And what I, in fact, remember was Vanessa saying something to the effect of, he chose the pose, so if you don't like it, tough, you know what, you know, which was a great moment. Remember, there's a good laugh line? Turns out that there are several errors in the statue. So a German basketball journalist named Andre Voigt was visiting L.A., took pictures of it, and his tweets went viral showing photos of the errors. This happened on Monday morning. There were several errors, including the spelling of two other players' names in the replica box score from Kobe's 81-point game and a formatting mistake on another side of the base where Kobe's career accomplishments are listed. And I just do find myself wondering aloud, like this is... It's just something that happens. Obviously, no one intended this to be disrespectful. I'm not making a big fuss about it in that regard at all. They'll fix the mistakes and everything will be fine. But what I do find myself wondering is, like, how many sets of eyes must have... This is a freaking statue that we are putting out there that is going to remain there for time immemorial. Like, it's never going away. How many people have to have seen this? Like, Kembo, you've now been involved in the publishing business, right? So you know, we do books. I've done quite a few books. Every now and again, an error sneaks into your book, a punctuation mistake, a spelling mistake, something like that. And it's so frustrating. Or you'll come across one when you're reading another person's book. And it's so frustrating because you think, my goodness, how many checks and balances must this have gone through that everybody missed it? How did everybody miss that we meant to say T-H-E-I-R and instead we spelt it T-H-E-R-E? Like, those are mistakes that happen. Again, they're honest, innocent mistakes. No one needs to be fired or arrested or anything like that. But like, how many people must have looked at the statue? Like, we're making a statue. Give me a rough number. How many people do you think have to have seen that statue?
Well, I mean, I think very few did. It's not possible. It's not possible that more than a few could have.
Why?
Because these are such easy to avoid mistakes. These are misspelled last names. There are four misspellings on this thing.
Yeah.
It's not like they had one thing that was easily caught. I mean, there are four things. Jose Calderon's name is wrong. Von Wafer's name is wrong. And then coach's decision is spelled wrong. And they're stacked back to back with two coaches' decisions. And decision is spelled once correctly and once incorrectly directly beneath it. So I'm saying that very few people actually saw it.
Well, then how's that possible? Like, here's, I don't know much about anything, but Bubba, let's put together, if you and I, like, I'd like to make a statue and you know, to commemorate, we'll think of something. And I would like to put together a committee to look into how we're going to have this. Who's the sculptor going to be? Who do we hire? Is Rodin still available? He's my favorite sculptor. You know, he's been dead 100 years. Okay, we got to go to somebody else.
Carlos Rodon?
Whatever it is. Yankees? No, not Rodon. Anyway, the point of it is this. We're going to go out. We're going to go out and we're going to put together, we're going to get a statue made. All right. I'd like to put together a committee to look into this. I'd like you to chair that committee if you have time. How many people do you think we would want to look at the statue before we unveil it? Like, what would be a rough number of people that you would feel comfortable saying, okay, enough people have seen this that I feel good about now displaying it to the world for the rest of time?
I'd say at minimum 50.
Yes, maybe. I need 50 sets of eyes.
Of all different walks of life.
That's right.
Too. I'd say old, young, you know.
Look at it quickly. Yeah. Literate. Look back again.
Yeah. People who can read, can't
How
read.
How do they spell decision?
People working here, not working here.
D-E-C-I-C-I-O-N.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding you. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, the
and
coach's decision is my
correctly
favorite.
Correctly right above it.
That's the best part. Decision is right on there. That's
you won't
the
believe
part.
What you're seeing here. This is unbelievable.
I've read the story, but I haven't actually looked at it.
Look at coach's decision. Decision.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
I mean, yes, you can.
You literally can't. Yes. Somehow
by the way, that is my favorite part. Imagine that you're on that statue because it's a copy of a box score. You're immortalized on that statue for eternity as two players who did not play coach's decision.
Coach's decision.
Like, you were not good enough to get in that game because the coach decided not to play
and
you.
One of the players that didn't play is the one whose name they spelled wrong. Von Wafer is Vom Wafer.
Vom Wafer.
So for hundreds of years, people are going to walk by that statue and just say, oh, look, Jalen Rose had some points. This person had some points.
Here's Jalen's name.
Jose Calderon.
Everyone had some points. But then you're going to be forever known as people who didn't even play coach's decision.
How are there multiple?
It does. It says Vom Wafer. I'm looking at it right now.
I mean, they're
now.
Just copying
and
from.
And it says Jose
Calderon.
All they
do is copy from a box score. How do they get it? That makes it even
There's no
crazy.
Creative freedom here. It's just what it says.
Vom Wafer sounds like you ate a bad cookie or something.
A bad wafer,
yes.
That wafer is making
and
me
and
vom.
Somehow this is made even funnier by the fact that the posts are all in German, like the words.
Yeah, not even an American guy.
It's exactly right.
The thing is, the statue's been there for a month, and it took a German.
No one in Los Angeles.
Yes, this says, Kobe statue mit drei Fingern. I mean, I can't read.
A guy had to cross the Atlantic to figure out.
That's
what,
exactly
you know.
Right. This guy's the first guy to figure this out.
That's so funny.
How's that possible?
Not one person in Los Angeles noticed.
How many? So that's, like, I bet you there are thousands of people, maybe tens of thousands of people that have taken a picture with the statue so far. But it's a German guy that came across the Atlantic Ocean who caught it, and then he tweeted it in German.
Dave McMahon.
We got to send this German guy across to all statues and just have him check our stuff.
The Kobe Bryant statue has a few errors etched into its marble base that have been identified. It will be corrected in the near future, according to a team spokesperson. Boy, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one.
That's a tough one to get wrong. The statue. I mean, the statue misspelling. That's like, of all of the things, like, what'd you do? What went wrong today? We misspelled a few things on the statue. Like what? Decision?
Like, it's not like Michelangelo forgot.
Oh,
to
did
cover
you get it right anywhere else on there? Yeah, just right above it.
That's exactly right. I mean,
we went one for two on decision.
That's right. Like, I'm just thinking of, like, other legendary, like, Michelangelo's statue of David. What? I gave him six toes. Oh, damn it.
I forgot his robe.
I didn't check the toes. How many toes should he have had? Why does he have six toes? Did David have six toes? Is there anything in the Bible about David having a sixth toe? Can we try and get away with it that way? We got to send this Andre Voigt guy to that museum in Florence and see if there's anything wrong with the Statue of David. We just haven't noticed for the last 700 years.
Oh, you put an extra arm on the Statue of Liberty?
That's
dang
exactly
it.
Right.
We just found it now.
That's exactly right.
She has three arms.
That's right. What, you misspelled give me your hungry? Give me your poor?
Your huddled bleeps, hunting to be free.
Oh, my God. All right. Anyway, I'll check in from the campaign trail at some point soon. See you tomorrow, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Greeny, the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app.
Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN, and also available wherever you get your podcasts.